We're in Joshua 14. You read the theme verse, but I want you to turn to Joshua 14. I love Caleb. I enjoy what not only he did in his life, but what he's taught you and me today. You see, Caleb was 40 years old when God spoke to Moses, and he commanded Moses to send out the 12 men to spy out the promised land of Canaan. And through God's calling, God chose, you remember, 12 spies, but in particular, Caleb and Joshua, along with those other 10, to infiltrate the promised land and bring back a report to Moses and to the children of Israel. And those 12 men were chosen, each from one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, if you want to read the entire story, you can go to Numbers chapters 13 and 14 and read the entire story of the sending out of the spies. But the spies were gone, remember, for 40 days. And then the 12 men brought back their report to Moses and Aaron and the Israelites at Kadesh Barnea. So in our scripture for this morning, Caleb is remembering this event where he had brought back the report to Moses and Aaron at Kadesh Barnea. So 10 of those men reported that the promised land flowed. They said it was milk and honey. And to conform their report, remember, they brought back grapes, just like they had been instructed. But 80% of the 12 spies, they were full of unbelief, because what happened is they said, oh, but let me say something. I'm bringing back the grapes, but something else is there. There are the sons of Anak, A-N-A-K. And you look in Genesis chapter 6 and you find Anak. Anak was a part of a race of people in that day and time, referred to as the Nephilim. N-E-P-H-L-I-M, Nephilim, giants. We believe Goliath, the Philistine himself, was of the Nephilim. You know, 6 cubits and a span. Remember Goliath? About right up there to his head as I look up there to him. Because 6 cubit and a span, the cubit is the distance between your elbow and the middle of your finger. For an adult male, it's give or take about 18 inches. And the span is the difference, when you spread your hand out, the span is the difference between your thumb and your little finger, give or take 6 or 7 inches. Well, it puts Goliath up there close to 8, you know. A huge guy, to the point that the spy says, hey, Moses, we're not going to be able to defeat those folks in the promised land. We look like grasshoppers compared to them. Wow. And so these 10 told Moses and the people that we look so small in the midst of the giants. And there were Hittites, there were Jebusites, there were Amalekites, there were Amorites that dwelt in the land. We're just not going to be able to capture them. The spies brought back maps and charts and said, okay, here is the region. It would be monstrous for us to attempt to take it. There are massive iron gates, a great wall. We're not going to be able to take the promised land. We are defenseless people without any weapons. Who will be able to overcome these people? Do you think these folks, at least 10 of them, were defeated? Yes. Matter of fact, that spirit of defeat carried over to the children of Israel. The Bible says that they went home that night and cried all night long. Check me out on that. Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 and following. Then what did they do? They started complaining to Moses and Aaron. Then you know what they said? You've read this story in Numbers. They even said, it would have been better if we had died in Egypt. Now, y'all, can you look at this? 3 million of them. And now they're saying, hey, guys, why did you ever lead us out of Egypt? They were complaining about everything that was going on in Egypt. God had protected them even in the wilderness. God had taken care of. And now, because 10 of these spies come back and say, there are Anak in the land. There are giants. There are Nephilim. We're not going to be able to conquer those folks. We're too small. We're like grasshoppers. And I am so convinced that's the way we feel in the 21st century. Evangelical Christians are now in the minority in this world. They think we're a bunch of narrow-minded idiots. We are. We are narrow-minded, and we are idiots in that respect because we love Jesus, period. But that's what this world has happened. I believe Caleb has so much to say to us. The people wanted to choose another leader. Can you imagine? And then Caleb. Caleb and Joshua get up, and they do their best to encourage the people. And here's what old Caleb says. I love this. He says, "Let's go up at once and possess the land. We are well able to overcome it." So he and Joshua's report was not one of defeat, but these two guys turned it around and it was one of triumph. Why? Because Caleb knew that he's not going into battle alone. Man, he's going into battle with the power of God. There is nothing you and I will ever face on this earth as a believer that you don't have the power of God within you. And God knew, Caleb knew the faithfulness of God even in the midst of the giants. God promised Caleb that he would take the land, he would give it to him. And even the giants, he would give them to him. God would prove faithful, and God will do the same for you and me. Now this morning, I want to show you three characteristics of Caleb. And if you and I will do what Caleb did every day of our life, I don't care if we're 20, 10, 16, 12, 9, or 89 or 90 or whatever. It doesn't matter age. This crosses the generations. These three things are for all of us. If we in these last days on this earth, I am convinced before the Lord Jesus comes and takes out His church, if we can do these three things, we may be a small group. We may be like the little grasshoppers. But what you're going to see before we leave here is God used the little grasshoppers to bring down the giants. And I am convinced God does the same today. Amen? Here's the first thing. First thing you and I must do about Caleb. Caleb's loyalty was to God alone. Your loyalty must be to God alone. It can't waver. And there's a lot of stuff that messes up our loyalty on this earth. We want to find every other thing so much of the time. We want to do our own thing. We have our own plans. We have our own agenda. We can do it better than God. After all, He doesn't live here anymore. But Caleb didn't think that way. Caleb said, "My loyalty is going to be to God." All the other 10 spies says there's no way. And Caleb says, "Oh, guess what? We can take that land." Cause why? God had promised it to us. I'm in chapter 14, verse 6. Listen to this. The descendants of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal. Remember we were there last week? And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. The Kenizzites literally were to be foreigners who descended from Esau. You go back in Genesis and look at that particular. And he said to them, "You know what the Lord promised Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and about me." Caleb said, "I was 40 years old when Moses' servant sent me from Kadesh Barnea to scout the land, and I brought back an honest report." We're in verse 8 now. "My brothers who went with me caused the people's hearts to melt with fear, but I," look at this, "remained loyal to my God. And on that day, Moses promised me, Caleb, he said, 'The land where you have set your foot will be inheritance for you and your descendants forever, because you have remained loyal to Yahweh, my God.'" Caleb knew something. God had promised that land to the children of Israel. God had promised part of that land, in particular Hebron, as we shall see, to Caleb. And Caleb knew that nothing, absolutely nothing, even the giants in the land, could not stop God. The word loyal in the Hebrew is a word simply that means whole. It's translated wholeheartedly, with everything you are. It's also a nautical term that Joshua used a lot of times. It refers to a ship pushing straight ahead, no matter how filled with cargo that it becomes, no matter what, that water, that it continues to push despite the fact that it's loaded down. Caleb was under pressure. Caleb was dedicated under difficulties. He was dedicated under the shadow of another leader, Joshua. But Caleb had impeccable character. He was not chosen the leader after Moses to retire and head of the tribe per se. Caleb just simply followed God. He served faithfully in whatever position God told him to do. And God wanted Caleb to follow Joshua. He was loyal. He pushed forward. He never gave up. He never gave in. Despite the fact that your boat's filling with water and it quickly looks like you're about to sink, then what happens? There's the test of our faith. When we all get to that point and our boat, our ship is almost underwater and we reach and we say, God, help me. Then what does God do? He reaches down. He takes care of us and He helps us. Despite the Nephilim and the land, Caleb knew God would be loyal. And now, folks, the scripture says he's 85 years old, 40 years later. 85. And he knew that what was promised to him by God, God would prove faithful. Period. His loyalty was to God. I am convinced in these days of the 21st century, this world has got to see us not living one way in this house and another way out there, but one way in this house and the same way out there. Our loyalty has got to be to God. Period. You just think about that with me. 12 of them. Very stout, strong people. They were heads of the tribes of Israel, 12 of them. And they go out and spy the land. 10 of them come back and says, we can't do it. What would you think? Well, you know, since 10 of those folks came back, Keith, you know, and told us that, man, we can't. We would just be, that's crazy. Why are we going in the land to try to take it? 10 of them. I know the 2 said, don't worry, you know, we can get it. But there's 10 of those folks that said, there's no way we're going to get this battle. And all of us decide, based on those 10, at least that's what the children of Israel did, they made the decision, well, fine, let's not only not go in the land, let's get another leader. Heavens, let's go back to Egypt. I can't understand God's people wanting to go back into captivity. Do you see the intensity of this? Do you see the people? I'm not talking 20 or 30 or 60 or 70 that are in this house. I'm talking 3 million people have now turned their back on Moses once again. And Caleb said, guys, you know, I just know it looks bad out there. There's wars. People are killed every day. People are mugged. There's everything going on constantly. It really looks bad. But you know something, folks? I know you 10 say we can't do it. But Joshua and I guarantee you we can do it. Because God said the land was ours. Wow. Here's the second thing. Caleb's confidence came from his relationship to God. This is so very, very important. I'm in verse 10. As you see, the Lord kept me alive these 45 years as He promised, since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel was journeying in the wilderness. And here I am 85 years today. Look at this, verse 11. I am still as strong today as I was in that day Moses sent me out. My strength for battle and for daily task is now as it was then. How many of you in this house are 85 and over and you feel as strong today as you did when you were 45? Would you raise your hand? Nope. You know, God's showing me, Randy, you know, physically, you can't do what you used to could do. Tell you what. My strength and my battle for daily task is now as it was. Verse 12. Now give me, look this, give me this hill country. I wish you'd look back at pictures. Go in your history books and look back at pictures of the whole land of Canaan, in particular of Hebron. You'll know what this means right here. Now give me this hill country the Lord promised me on that day, because you had heard that the Anakim, that's those giants are there, translated in Genesis as Nephilim, as well as the large fortified cities. But perhaps the Lord will be with me and I'll drive them out just as the Lord had promised. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. I should have put a map up here and brought one for you to show you that, but you probably got one in your Bible and you can go back this afternoon sometime and look at that. The thing is, Caleb got his confidence in himself from his relationship to God. Most people get their confidence in themselves from other people. Somebody says something, you're at work, you're at school. Hey, you did wonderful on that test. As a student, how do you feel? Oh, good, thanks. You know? You're at the grocery store, you're at whatever. Oh, I like that you're wearing. Or I like, then what does that do to y'all? That's kind of nice. Your boss says, you did a wonderful job in organizing and getting this stuff ready. What do you do? Wow. I mean, we are blown away in that respect. Why? That gives us confidence. But the problem is, when we seek all our confidence from people around us, it will go down the tube. And Caleb recognized that, and he got his confidence from his relationship to God. He never sought other people's praise or favor. He never sought his confidence from anyone except God. And Caleb's confidence originated from God. They knew that man was different from all the rest. The people had listened to the report in Kadesh Barnea about the promised land. They didn't like the fact that Joshua and Caleb were positive. But despite their turning these people against God, there's still no reports that the children of Israel refused to listen to Caleb and Joshua. So Caleb reminisces in verses 10 through 13 about God's faithfulness over him in those last 40 plus years. But 45 years, what's this, is a long time to wait for the fulfillment of a pledge, of a promise. But Caleb waited, and he waited, and he waited. Despite what he seemingly was not the action of God for 40 plus years, Caleb remained faithful to God. The conquest of the land of Canaan would take 7 years, and Caleb never lost sight of the promise of God. Why? Because he got his confidence from his personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank God for compliments. Thank God for people saying good things about us. That's perfect. That's what we must do. Encourage, exhortation, build up the body, build up one another. But folks, your confidence ought to be that God created you out of nothing. You're special. And as Mark Lowry always says, you are somebody. You know, there ain't nobody like you. We're all different. That's the way God created us in His imago Dei, in His image. Wow. We bear the very image of God in our life. Let that give you confidence. There is nothing that can stop you. The giants of this world cannot overcome you because you have the power of God within you. And as Caleb, you brought back from the cross what God said He'll do for you. I will never leave you, never forsake you. Back up to Joshua chapter 1. What does God tell Joshua as soon as He makes Joshua Moses' successor? He says, I'll be with you, Joshua. I will never leave you, and I will never, ever forsake you. You talking about a confidence builder. That was Caleb. Make sure you get your confidence from God and your relationship with Him. Here's the third thing. Caleb's passion was to follow the Lord God of Israel. It's a passion. It wasn't just a desire. The word passion means exactly what it says. It's far beyond a desire. It's a passion. How do you describe that? To do something. To get it done. It obsesses you almost in a good way. I'm in chapter 14 at verse 14. Listen. Therefore, Hebron belongs to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, as an inheritance on this day. Why? Because he remained loyal to the Lord God of Israel. Verse 15. Hebron's name used to be Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man amongst the giants, the Anakim. And after this, the land had rest from the war. If you look on a map and you do some study about Hebron, it was a major city in the hill country of Judah, about 19 miles south of Jerusalem and about 15 miles west of the Dead Sea. The region is over 3,000 feet above sea level, and the surrounding area has an abundant water supply. It's full of rich soil, and it's great for growing things. The land flowing with what? Milk and honey. Caleb received the promise of God. Why? Because Caleb wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. If you take this word follow in the Hebrew, when Michael was young, my little Michael, I couldn't do it now. I couldn't even pick him up. But either way, Michael would stand on me on my shoes. And he'd hold on. But when he'd hold on, he'd lay his body against me. Get that, Dad? You've done this before. And I'd walk, holding him, like this. He loved to do that. That's a perfect picture of the word follow in Hebrew. See, if I put Keith up here, and I stood Keith right here, and I stood right back here, and I said, Keith, why don't you walk right over there? And he walks. And then I thought, I'd do this. I'm right behind Keith now. What am I doing? Okay, I'm following. No, not according to the Hebrew. Keith, come here a minute. Let me show you something. I won't get you to walk over there. Don't stand on my feet. No. You're like Michael. I couldn't do that. Stand right here a minute. Okay? Now, if Keith took off walking and I followed him in our way, that's what it is. The word follow in the Hebrew, now I'm not going to stand on him. I'm right just like this. If he takes a step, go to the right. If you go to the left, I'll mess you up. Go to the right. Here we go. Right, would you just go to the left? Here we go. We're going on this side. Ready? Let's walk. That's hard, isn't it? You know? My point, I was then following Keith. You see? He could have been walking across, thank you, bud. He could have been walking across the platform, and we think we're following. No, not according to the Hebrew language. When Caleb says, y'all, that he is following God, how did I do that? Now look back at that situation. Did I just stand here like this and say, okay, Keith, start walking? What did I do? What was hell? This is an answer question. What did I do? Did I just stand here?
No.
Where was my hands?
Here.
Ah, wrapped around him. With Michael, my hands were holding on to him. That is Caleb. If we're going to follow God, Caleb says, you hold on to God, you don't let him go, and where he walks, you walk. That's what Caleb means. And doing that, ladies and gentlemen, was his absolute passion. Wow. When I went back and read that word follow, and I went back through it just to make sure what I was going to tell you, and I said, you know, Liz, I had never seen it like that before. You've always heard me talk about following, and following is making sure you place your foot in the same path of the person. That is following. I'm wrong. I'm sorry over these years. That's not the word. The word means you first of all got to hold on to the person you're following and never let go. That is significant for Caleb. How many of us are holding on to God 24/7? I tell you, just wow. Let me tell you a couple things. Numbers chapter 14. You'll have to go there. Just listen to this. I, the Lord, have spoken. I swear that I will do this to the entire evil community that has conspired against me. They will come to an end in the wilderness and they will die. He's talking about the Nephilim and all that. So the men of Moses sent out to scout the land, those who returned and incited the entire community to complain about him, spreading all the negative. Those 10 of the spies that came back, watch this, verse 37 in Numbers. Those men who spread the negative report about the land were struck down by God. You get in God's way, I guarantee you, He'll strike you down. Only Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive of those men who went to scout out of the land. Have you ever read that part? Wow. And the second thing that happened to Caleb and Joshua, the first thing was those verses right there. The second thing, the Bible says that they were victorious over the Nephilim. Remember those 10 came back and said, man, we grasshoppers. Joshua 15, verse 14. Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak and the descendants of Anak. He got rid of them. He was victorious. Just as God said. Folks, you and I must always be loyal to God. That's got to become our passion. We must make sure our confidence that we get comes from our relationship to the Lord God as you nurture that. And number three, we must make sure that our passion is to hold on and never let go of God, following Him no matter what. One of my favorite stories is about a strong, scrawny little kid from West Texas who attended a small high school. They didn't have a wrestling program, but he read a book on wrestling and he asked one of the assistant football coaches if he would enter him in some of the wrestling matches of that region. And the coach agreed to help the little guy. So this guy was neither strong nor was he skillful, but he had one enduring quality. He would never give up under any circumstances. So that little guy won every single wrestling match because he tenaciously held on to his opponents and wore them down. So by the end of the season, this little scrawny guy, as it was said, was undefeated and made it to 2 state finals for his weight classification. The kid's opponent was a 2-time state champion and a bona fide college prospect. And as that little kid faced the state champion, the guy made a couple of quick moves. And soon he had that little guy from West Texas on his back about to get pinned. The coach knew his athlete was about to lose and he could not bear to watch it. So he turned away and suddenly the coach turned around. He heard the roar of the crowd. And when he turned around, his kid was on top of the state champion, pinning him. This little guy had won the match. So that little guy bounced across the ring and hugged the coach and he said, "Coach, coach, I won, I won." And the coach said, "Sure, son, but I missed it. I turned away just before you were about to lose." "Well, what happened?" And the little kid told him, says, "Coach, that guy was good. He had me twisting like a pretzel on that man. But you know me, coach, I never quit. I never give up. I knew I was going to win this thing. I had to, and I would never give up. So I opened my eyes, and there in front of my face was a big toe. I don't even know if it's against the rules or nothing, but I bit into that big toe with all my strength. And coach, it's absolutely amazing what you can do when you bite your own toe." Maybe we need to bite our own toe. Caleb. Faithful to God, even amidst the giants. You got giants? We all do. I hope this message, you go back and read Numbers 13 and 14, Joshua chapter 14, and you read this story. This is God's truth and God's word for today. You hold strong. You make sure your passion is to wrap your arms around God and follow Him. No matter what, every day of your life, be loyal to God. And make sure you get your confidence from your personal relationship to Jesus Christ. So where is that relationship? So where it needs to be? Maybe come in an act of personal rededication. You can do that where you're sitting. But I sure wouldn't like to know. So would Austin. All of us. Come let us know. Or maybe this morning you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That some of this may seem a little foreign. Let us introduce you to Him as well. Perhaps you're looking and been thinking of joining Olive Springs. Now's the day. Love to have you. But you come as God would lead you. That's what I would want you to do. I love that grand hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I think what better hymn than to close out this time of worship like Caleb would have said, Great is God's faithfulness. Amen? Would you stand together right where you are, please, as George and Keith come to lead us, and Jimmy as well, you three. I want you to come. Brother Austin is going to be right down here as well, and I am. Whatever's on your heart, I want you to come. Sing this grand old hymn as we close this time of worship. Great is Thy faithfulness.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord.
Sing that second verse, okay? Sing that together.
Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.